Friday Night Racing.
On Off the Ball.
And they're off.
Brought to you by Go Racing. Plan your day at the races at goracing.ie.
In the Gold Cup, the Paul Town is an album photo. Is over three lengths clear now from Bristol de May. Annabelle Fly continues to try and stay on strongly in third. Album photo out on his own, racing inside the final 100 yards. Annabelle Fly is staying on, but it's too late. Paul Town and Willie Mullins' first Gold Cup. Album photo is home in front. Annabelle Fly third last year, second this. Bristol de May third. Native River, the reigning champion, fourth.
John Duggan, how the hell are you? You tipped the winner today. How's it going?
Good. Very good, Ger. Very good. I'm delighted for Willie, delighted for Paul. Just great day.
And amazing. You literally said what an amazing story it will be after this horse was involved in so much controversy in Punchestown earlier in the year. For anybody who's unfamiliar, who's forgotten what the connection is, maybe you just might remind everybody about what happened.
Well, first of all, I do believe this kind of thing does happen in sport, that you get these kind of strange coincidences and that things kind of come back in sport, the history of sport. So I do actually believe that as a theory. So that's why it was in my head last night. This is going to be the story of this Gold Cup. So I don't know whether a premonition or something, the Twilight Zone, I don't know. But look, last spring in Punchestown, Album Photo was running in a novice chase. Paul Tannen was his jockey. He was about to win the race. Monoly fell. Another horse, I think Invitation Only, fell. And Album Photo was out in front, coming towards, I think it was the last fence. It was two out that the fallers happened. So Paul was out in front. And then he heard something. So he swerved to his right and he ran out the side gate of the course. And he took another horse with him. And it was complete carnage. And another horse then, I think the Storyteller, got up and won. But it was hugely controversial because people were going, what possessed you to go and do that? And he just said he thought he heard something. If you watch the replay of the race, it was just madness. But the owners were loyal. The Donnellys, I think they're called the Donnellys. Willie Mullins was loyal. Paul Tannen is a very good jockey. We've had him on Friday Night Racing before. A great guy. Been on the game a long time, over a decade. Is probably, hopefully, going to be the champion jockey. And he's a very good jockey. And look, we all have bad days. We all have brain freezes in the office. That's Paul's office. And today, on the biggest stage in his office at Cheltenham, he won the Gold Cup with a very accomplished ride and this improving Album Photo.
Yeah, amazing stuff, really. An incredible narrative, as you say. Sport does throw up these narratives. You got the opportunity to talk to him a little bit afterwards. Have a look at this.
Paul Tannen, must be the best day of your life.
It's incredible. It's starting to sink in, but I think it'll be another while before it sinks in fully. What a feeling.
Talk to us about the race.
Everything went well. It's like any race around here. I get into lovely rhythm, and when things are happening for you, they really happen around here. After doing a circuit, I couldn't have been happier where I was, and it was just a matter of keeping jumping, keeping balance from there, and I had a real warrior then up the hill at the end.
When did you feel like you knew what we got a chance here?
I couldn't have been happier heading out the second circuit, and when we turned at the top of the hill, he took a blow, but immediately came back on the bridle, you know, and here we go now. We'll get down the hill anyway and have a fighting chance. But when I kicked into the gap turning in, I got in there with ease, you know, and I was able to sit again. And, you know, he's a warrior, and he galloped right to the top of the hill for me.
Was the blur going towards the line? What were you thinking?
I couldn't believe it. Yeah, it is a bit of a blur, to be honest, and especially when I crossed it.
It's great to do for Willie, isn't it? His first Gold Cup.
Yeah, unbelievable. As I say, he's supported me since I left school and decided I want to be a jockey, and to repay him with a Gold Cup, sure, it's the pinnacle, isn't it?
And I think it also says a lot, Paul, about support from the owners, from Willie. Look, it wasn't the best day last year at Punchestown, but, you know, it's about a resolution and sticking at it and believing in yourself. And you know what? A year later, you're a Gold Cup winner.
Yeah, I suppose we had some unfinished business, myself and the horse, and I'm just delighted for the horse to get his day as well.
Well, congratulations. Enjoy the night.
Thanks very much.
That's class, because Ollie Bell was running around after him on the track after he came in, and he could barely speak. He was almost completely speechless.
He speaks to off the ball, Ger.
He's not the only one. Willie Mullins as well. Have a look.
Willie Mullins, how good is that?
Very good. Absolutely delighted for Paul and for the Donnellys. For their commitment to our yard, and you know, Paul has been with us since he started off. Dream come true.
Tell us about, you know, when you felt that Invitation Only, who's unlucky and sadly I don't think it's going to make it, Ken Boy, Bells Hill, you might have felt it wasn't going to be your day, Willie.
Totally. I mean, to have three of my runners gone before a circuit had finished, I thought, wow, this is just going to be another year of disappointment. But, you know, that's sport. You get used to that. But every time I look back at Paul going down through the field, and then you see Paul, and he was, knowing Paul's body language, he was so relaxed all the time. And I thought, wow, we still have a chance here. And Paul just kept him in the hunt, but kept him in his own rhythm. And then I think coming to the fifth last, he wanted a long stride, and the horse gave it to Paul. And I said, well, there's plenty of petrol in this tank still. Down over the fourth last, third last was missed. He genuflected at the second last. Before he went to the second last, the gap just opened up and he appeared into it without having to use any petrol. And I thought, right, this could be on this year. And Hart jumped up, missed a beat when he made the mistake of the second last. But then he nailed the last and winged it and up the straight. I just had one look at the winning post, one look at the opposition. I thought, barring accidents, this is our year. And I was especially thrilled for Paul. That's what I could think about going up the straight, that after Punchestown last year and what happened. And we were, you know, it was right that if the horse was to win a Gold Cup, Paul should be on it.
Also, Willie, you know, I know you're quite a relaxed gentleman and this is your 65th Cheltenham winner, but were you in any way more animated than you normally were when you're watching this happen?
No, because I'd resigned myself after the circuit thinking it wasn't going to happen, so I was probably as surprised as anyone. But, you know, I had resigned myself maybe to never winning a Gold Cup, so because we'd so many tries at it, so many near misses, and sometimes that just happens in sport. You don't get the real top end of it, and we did today, so we'll enjoy it.
You'll celebrate it down in close up.
We will celebrate it, yes. It'll be take a few days, I think.
Congratulations, Willie. Well done again.
Thank you. John, it's mad, really, isn't it, when you think about it? Such an amazing career to be such a dominant trainer around Cheltenham, and then today, finally, to have deliverance in such spectacular circumstances. The point you made precisely there about so many of the horses that he had in the field gone early.
Yeah, he four darts at the board and three of them are gone. You know, so you only got one chance, really, effectively, for the whole second circuit of the Gold Cup. It's Willie Wullan's 65th in my statistics book, festival winner. 65 winners. He's by far the leading festival trainer in history. Now, of course, he's got 4 days now and more races. But his dad, Paddy, in 1986 had a Don run to win the Gold Cup. And Willie's had a great run. He I think four champion hurdles, Hurricane Fly, Faheen, Annie Power, all these great horses, Ruby Riding, all these trebles at Cheltenham and that kind of thing. But never the Gold Cup. And it's like Phil Mickelson in the US Open, six times runner up. You think you're never going to get there. Back to Florida Pearl in 2000, 19 years ago, Paul Carber, you think he's going to do it. And he doesn't do it, beaten by Looks Like Trouble. 19 years later, it took 19 years after Florida Pearl for William Mullins to finally do it with a horse that ran out last year and with four darts in the race. By the way, this is like the Ryder Cup, Ger. Early Doors has won the last race for Joseph O'Brien. So I make it, if I'm right, 14 winners for Ireland, 14 winners for England, a shared Cheltenham Festival haul.
We'll keep it after winning it last year. John, good stuff. You did great work this week. Congratulations on tipping Album Photo for the Gold Cup as well. And thanks very much for being part of our coverage. We're going to move on. Friday Night Racing is brought to you by GoRacing.ie. I'm delighted to say we've got Patrick Mullins on the line to try and give us a sense of just how amazing a week it's been for the Mullins family. Patrick, obviously, racing is a roller coaster, but ultimately, when the whole year boils down to having a horse in contention up the hill in the Gold Cup, what's that feeling like just before you know it's going to happen?
Yeah, sure. Look, it's been a long time coming, an awful long time coming. The first time I got to come to Cheltenham was 1999, and that was when we had our first Cheltenham Gold Cup winner. And, we sent out four today, and we're in the first lap. Three of them were out of the race, so Paul Townend pulled it out of the fire. I mean, Paul deserves huge credit. I thought it was a fabulous ride, and, talk about the ultimate redemption from the unfortunate incident in Punchestown last year.
I mean, we were just talking about that. It is an absolutely remarkable story. It's kind of a ridiculous turnaround in fortunes, but obviously it's the type of thing that, you know, you guys had a lot of faith in this horse and his ability to make it all the way up the hill.
Yeah, well, look, he was third. He was in third place here last year when he fell at second last time presenting Percy, so he did have to improve, and Ruby obviously went for Bell's Hill, and Paul stuck with him. He had a lot of belief in him. And he's just improved all the time. You know, and don't forget, he had his prep run in Tramore, his only run of the season. And so it just shows you, you know, Tramore could be the new the new place to prep your Gold Cup horses.
I think Tony McCoy talked about that, and he said that did Albion Photo do an amazing time around Tramore? Was that one of the kind of characteristics that maybe got people thinking about this?
Look, it's been such a funny winter. It was just a place where they had nice ground, and you know, they had that good race, a good prize money, and the conditions suited. So it was an added bonus that it's quite an undulating track, which probably is no harm for coming here. It's a fantastic result, especially for Joe Donnelly, who's a relatively new owner to us. You know, and a couple of years ago there, when my father and Gingham parted away, it looked like this kind of victory was probably going to be further away than ever, because Gingham buy the type of horses that the Wingo Gold Cups. And, you know, we've had some owners have stepped up for us, and we're hugely grateful to them. And it's brilliant that our page, Joe Donnelly, and his wife, with this victory.
We just heard from your dad there talking with John a little bit earlier on today, and he did have an air of serenity, but it did sound like he'd almost resigned himself to this not happening. There must have been some sense that, like, geez, maybe this isn't going to happen at any point, given how many opportunities we've had. And yet, obviously, you never give up. That's the whole point about racing, is that you just have to have this indomitable spirit that, like, irrespective of whether or not you win or lose, you've got to go again and keep going.
Exactly. Look, you know, there was no guarantee that a World Cup was going to make its way back to Close Sutton. You know, plenty of good trainers have gone their career without winning one. But all you can do is keep buying the right horses, keep the good jockeys on them, keep training them as best you can, and you keep knocking on the door. One day it might just open.
Patrick, it's been such a crazy week. You know, success on the first day, a couple of horse fatalities. It finishes with a Gold Cup. You're a pretty thoughtful person. Has any of that sunk in just yet?
Not hugely. No. Like, I mean, I haven't got a chance to talk to Willie yet. He didn't just woke up because I was riding in the next race, and he was whisked away then after that. So, look, it's been an up and down week. There's been trying van disaster. That's life. But look, we're walking out with the Cheltenham Gold Cup, and you can be sure it's going to be a big party this weekend.
I was going to say, because, like, you know, if you don't win the Gold Cup, obviously, it's still been a really great week for you guys. But because it's something that you've got so many good chances in, there might have been a sense of anticlimax at the end of a Cheltenham Festival, which must be a bit random. But, like, again, this is all new, so I presume there's no anticlimax. There's no After the Lord Mayor Show. There's no kind of... John Giles always used to say that the adrenaline would kick in and you just wouldn't be able to sleep for hours and hours and hours after big games. I suspect everybody's going to have a great night tonight and they'll sleep well into tomorrow.
I'm in Down Royal tomorrow and Wexford on Sunday and everything happens Monday, so the merry-go-round doesn't stop. We're home and back to work, but once you get all out of the way, we'll organise, we'll make sure to appreciate it and celebrate it appropriately.
Right, well, best of luck with that, Patrick, and thanks a million for making the time to talk to us today. Congratulations to everybody involved. It's been a great week. We finished 14-all against England, so I think everybody's going to go home happy.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fantastic week for all of Ireland. You know, we had so many Irish trainers there, you know, like Martin Brazel and, you know, Joseph and Henry and Rachel Blackmore. We had a fantastic festival for all Irish people involved, so... We'll have to try and do it again next year now.
Good stuff, Patrick. Thanks a million for making the time for us today.
Best of luck, man. Thank you.
It's Patrick Mullins there talking to us in the aftermath of Willie Mullins' first Gold Cup victory. Johnny Ward is with us. Johnny, how are you?
How are you getting on, Ger?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a pretty exciting final day when you consider everything that happened. You know, it seems like ages ago now that Sir Eric... in the first race today had a horrific looking accident, thankfully no replay shown on TV of it, that kind of drew a pall over proceedings. And then it is bizarre, and it's just the way of life really for horse racing. The next race happens, the stories happen, they move on, and then there's drama in the Gold Cup.
Yeah, it was a strange day. It was not really a particularly memorable day, to be honest. The whole atmosphere just went completely downhill after the first race. You know, the press room here just went extremely quiet, and you know, I suppose we're a bit biased towards the very high, the very good performers in life in general, and maybe, you know, celebrities get more attention than the normal guy in the street. But Sir Eric had that kind of he had that wow factor about him, and he was very lightly raced. He had a kind of a manner that was just very, very endearing. He was a special horse, beautiful horse to look at, very mild-mannered. Before the start of the race, he had to be reshod because he spread a plate, and he stood there like you know, a docile dog, really, as he was reshod. And you know, what happened in the race was pretty horrible, really, and it took a shine off everything that happened subsequently. I mean, I know Willie Mullins obviously lost invitation only as well, and had two other horses who actually exited early of his four in the Gold Cup, and then ended up winning it with Album Photo. So there's plenty of drama there, but this race day four probably followed one of the most memorable, for good reasons, Cheltenhams that we've had, and this one was not particularly memorable for good reasons, I thought.
Yeah, okay. In terms of the quality of the racing, or just because of the death of Sir Eric?
Yeah, I mean, the racing was pretty good. We'd a few, you know, the Albert Bartlett was pretty run of the mill. The Triumph Hurdle was the race that basically, I suppose, stuck in people's minds. And just the way it happened with Sir Eric, and the horrible sight of his leg flailing and all of that, it was the thing that most people, I think, will remember today, probably more so than Album Photo, to be honest, because down the line, people will talk about Sir Eric, and do you remember the day he died at Cheltenham and that? And I think, you know, racehorses obviously die, it's part of the game, but he was very young and he was very exciting. Tony Mullins described him as probably the most exciting horse he'd ever seen over hurdles. And I don't know, it just didn't seem to matter quite as much after that.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. We should talk about Joseph O'Brien getting the winner of the last early doors. John Joe Neal Jr. on a horse trained by Joseph O'Brien. We know, we look for narratives in sport all the time. The kids of their famous fathers delivering on the last race at Cheltenham. It's pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah, John Joe's... his dad had a very quiet week. He's had a fairly quiet time, but maybe of late. His dad of the same name, but he's a very promising young rider. He looks like a ready-made jockey, you know, potential future champion jockey. Very eye-catching booking in the race. Obviously, the JP connection with John Joe and Jack Dawes Castle meant that it was probable that he could ride for Joseph, but a horse that was well-fancied, laid out by a very talented trainer, and I know that Gordon Elliott really fancies Dallas J. Picton, who got a good ride as well by Donna Myler, but John Joe Jr. is anyone who's into racing will be fairly familiar with him at this stage. He's ridden a lot of winners. Really, really promising guy. And, you know, his father's a gentleman. It was good to see the Irish dominate the last race, bringing up a draw in the Prestbury Cup. And Joseph will reflect on his horse is running extremely well this week with that obvious proviso that he lost his star.
Am I right in saying John Joe was the jockey for Dawn Run? Is that right?
Yeah, so he replaced the aforementioned Tony Mullins. John Joe would have been a very good rider. I guess that was kind of the one of the more controversial jockey changes, but a real genial gentleman from County Cork. And I'd say he's very proud of, you know, he'd be a very proud man going home this season, as will Aidan O'Brien, because Joseph's horses have really, really run extremely well this week, and he's just going to become a very, very dominant force.
Yeah, because John Joe obviously is the jockey of a horse that crosses over from the casual racing fan into the mainstream. When you think back to just how rare Cheltenham winners were for Ireland, to the point where it's 14-all and we're like, it's not that big an achievement for us to match England. We're a little bit disappointed we didn't actually hammer them.
Yeah, it's definitely true. You know, you come over here, Ireland were odds-on favourites to win it again this year. And when you consider Gordon Elliott Jigginstown had one winner this week off the top of my head, which was in the cross-country race. You know, Jigginstown will reflect on a very frustrating festival when not a lot went right for them. Sam Crow didn't turn up. Apple Jade ran a shocker, obviously, and were beaten in the last race when they kind of could have done with the winner. So with Jigginstown having only one winner, we did really well to draw. But, I mean, you look at the success of Rachel Blackmore again. She really had an amazing festival. She didn't ride any horse that was exceptionally well-fancied, but she rode two winners, four female riders, if you include her two wins, having victories again at Cheltenham the same as last year. And the Rachel story is huge. You know, she's become a real, an iconic figure, really, for women, I think, in sport. And that's definitely one of the main positives I'll take away from this festival, herself and Bryony Frost. We had that memorable day yesterday. But Rachel, to come from where she's, from where she was to where she is today, she's really an example to men and women who maybe feel that they're struggling in life or in sport, that, you know, things can always do better if you just work hard at it. And she's a real example and to everyone.
So Manella Indo is the horse that she won on today, is that right?
That's right, Jeff. 50-1 for Henry de Bromhead.
50-1. I'm looking at the tote price as well. The tote win was 129.50, which is pretty amazing. It's insane. How does a horse like that end up not being more talked about in the build-up to a race like this? What happens that sometimes these horses go under the radar so spectacularly?
Yeah, it was probably a case of trip with that horse. I mean, it wasn't well fancied at all. I don't think I've heard of the horse actually once at any sort of preview night. I remember him winning or running rather at Limerick when he was well fancied at Limerick last Christmas when I was down there that day. He was very well fancied. He ran okay, but I mean, he was coming in very much under the radar. He was held by Alaho on running the last day, albeit that was a good run, but he was stepping up in trip. He was lightly raced. He was very positive on him as well. And just kind of, you were thinking Commander of Fleet and Jigging Sound would catch him jumping the last, because, you know, this horse is obviously very well fancied. But Manella Indo just grounded out and probably just got a very good ride as well, and a good week for Henry de Bromhead. And, you know, that relationship with Rachel Rackmore has really been copper fastened this week.
Yeah, again, you know, you're making the point there that it's she's become an iconic figure. Really quickly, the next generation of jockeys are starting to take over. Like, you know, you go for so long and we take for granted how great AP was and how great Ruby has been and still is. And yet here we're talking about Paul Townend having a couple of big wins, Rachel Blackmore now having a couple of big wins, her first Grade One at Cheltenham. It's pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, up until this week, no female rider had ridden a Grade One winner over flights or fences or hurdles at Cheltenham. So it was a very pivotal week in that regard. There has been, you know, there will be changing of the guard, I suppose, because Paul Carberry retired. Ruby Walsh is getting on. I doubt Ruby has any more than maybe one season left after this one. Obviously, Noel Feely as well. Davy Russell's getting on a bit. Barry Gerrity turns 40 this year. So there is a gap to be filled there. Mark Walsh, you know, the likes of Paul Town and Rachel Blackmore, they're the ones up and coming. And I think today was a good example of Paul Townend's ability as well. And he's, you know, he's been the heir apparent for Ruby for so long. But, you know, it was quite telling how much praise was heaped on him by Willie Mullins after race. He was very proud of Paul. And I think the fact that Paul has stayed in that yard when clearly he could have gotten number one job elsewhere, it's kind of testament to the man. And his father, Tim, was there today, and his sister, Caroline, and his girlfriend, who's Italian. And there was a beautiful photo of the four of them, just great people. And his father was very proud. And Willie as well, his mother, Maureen, 66 years after she went to her first Cheltenham Festival, she would have seen her husband, Paddy, train Dawn, run the last mare to win the Gold Cup. She was there today, and it must have been an amazing family day for the Mullinses, and it certainly hasn't ended yet.
Yeah, okay. One last thing I did want to talk to you about. Presenting Percy was disappointing, really, in the Gold Cup. Never quite got near the front runners, never quite got an opportunity to show that blinding pace up the hill that we kind of had come to expect. Any signs yet of there being something wrong with Presenting Percy, or was that just coming up against a field that it wasn't quite ready for?
Probably the latter. I don't think anything came to light. The Gold Cup is really a remarkable jumping test, I suppose. When you watch it again today, they jump fences at so regularly that you don't really get time to kind of get over a mistake. Now, he didn't really make mistakes. I thought he was a bit fiddly at some of his fences. He probably got a bit back further than Davy Russell had thought, but with the circuit to go, he'd gotten into a nice position. But then the front runners kind of went away from him again. When he made ground at the fourth last, I thought, here we go, he's coming bang into it, and he just stopped very quickly. I think mentally before the race, he kicked out in the parade ring, I think, and I don't know, maybe it just was a bit too much for him at this stage of his career. He has been to Cheltenham twice, but he was taking on proper hardened campaigners here like Native River, obviously, and Annabelle Fly and the likes, and maybe it came too soon for him, but I don't think you'd give up on him by any means. I think, you know, not jumping a fence, I didn't think it was that much of a deal, and he didn't jump that badly, but just maybe he needs a little bit more practice, and there's always punches down as well. I think that'll be a fascinating narrative in Punchestown when he turns up against possibly the likes of Annabelle Fly, because I think Presenting Percy, there's many chapters left to his book, and maybe next season they might get a clearer run at it. But he just probably wasn't quite streetwise enough to deal with that test today in hindsight.
One last thing before we get your tip for the week. You did tip up Annabelle Fly, who ended up finishing up second in the Gold Cup at around about 22-1. So obviously you'd spotted something in that horse that you liked.
Ah, yeah, well, his run at Gorn was very eye-catching behind Mona Lee, and he was third in the race last year when nothing came from off the pace. I do feel a bit sorry for Tony Martin because, you know, he's had near misses in the Gold Cup. He's had near misses in the Melbourne Cup. Jigginstown took horse away from a few years ago. He wouldn't have that many good horses now, and this he couldn't have produced this horse in better shape. Could Barry Geraghty have done any more? I don't think so, really. He had him in a lovely position coming to the second last. Album Photo just showed a bit more tactical speed than him, and he really ran on strongly to the line. But he's been a good servant, Annabelle Fly. Just a little bit sorry for Tony Martin that he couldn't have a big race win.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to seeing all these horses again coming out in Punchestown, and hopefully a good few English horses come over as well to renew acquaintance. A reminder that the Tote Irish Injured Jockeys Charity Fund is at €2,014. This weekend, the action comes from Gorin and Nace. It's obviously Dundalk this evening as well. The focus is now firmly fixed on next week's... Oh, sorry, yeah, we've got €100 charity bet courtesy of Tote to try and add to our tally. A reminder as well that you can enjoy the Tote versus SP best price guarantee for every race at... the festival, the big festivals. Check out thetote.com for more. Johnny, your bet this week is from Gorin.
Yeah, it's actually from Down Royal.
Sorry, from Down Royal. Go for it, yeah.
On Saturday, Rathbride Prince. Rathbride Prince, 3:05 Down Royal, very well worth the bet. And if you do need a winner post Cheltenham, which many of us do, hopefully Cuban Hope in the last at Dundalk tonight.
Cuban Hope in the last at Dundalk tonight. Johnny, safe home. What's the plan now? Is it, do you stick around? Are you going to a rugby match? Is that happening?
No, I have a boat at 2 in the morning. I can't wait.
It's all glamour. Johnny, enjoy the boat.
It's all glamour.
Thanks a million. Sure. Johnny Ward with us all week here on Off the Ball, talking to us about what was going on. So we'll tweet out the details of that horse as well. And maybe don't worry about the Dundalk horse. It's up to you. It's up to you. If you want to go chasing, go chasing. But if you don't. We will be more than happy to tweet out the details of that. So it's €100 bet courtesy of the Tote. Try and add to our tally. Check out thetote.com for more. And we'll let you know the details of that. It's been a pretty amazing week. We hope you've enjoyed the coverage of it. We've certainly enjoyed it, and so we are definitely really looking forward to seeing these horses come out again at Punchestown. Some of the ones who underperformed will have an opportunity to restore and enhance their reputations, and some of the ones that have come from nowhere to become superstars over the course of the last week, well, they'll get their opportunity to cement their places in the hearts and affections of the race-going public. And hopefully some of you are going to head along to actually check out the racing in person, because it has been an amazing week, and the opportunity to go and see these horses is something that you shouldn't miss. That is this week's Friday Night Racing, brought to you by Go Racing. Check out goracing.ie if you are heading out to Down Royal or to Gorin or wherever you're heading this weekend. Enjoy it, and thanks very much for being part of the show tonight. Take care.
Friday Night Racing
on Off the Ball.
And they're off.
Brought to you by Go Racing. Plan your day at the races at goracing.ie.